great friends. And
good morning. Today is June 24th, and this is the Education Subcommittee for the Joint Ways and Means. We have two bills that we are going to work today, but it's Mr. Wilson is going to take some quality time to go over line items in the grant and aid budget. And yes, we'll see how we deal with questions. I just alerted Mr. Wilson that, and Brian, don't fall out of your chair. Somebody asked me if CTE money was going to be allocated through the funding formula, and I said, not as far as I know. So anyway, we'll get through all this stuff. And David, don't frown at me.
That's what he does, Madam Chair.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, we'll never get this finished. It's hard to get to this point where we've done a lot of work. And before we really start here, I want to say a huge, huge thank you to Mr. Wilson. I don't know how many hours he has worked in the past month. I hope we're not, well, I hope you're getting overtime. So, but a huge thank you for Doug for pulling this together, because every day, whether it's Senator Monroe or I or a committee member or the co-chairs or the presiding officer, something changed every day, if not two, three times a day. Oh, Doug, yeah. Take it away.
Madam Chair, first of all, I suggest you open a work session on House Bill 5016.
Thank you. I am opening a work session on House Bill 5016, the Department of Education.
Madam Chair, members, I'm going to go through this budget a little differently. I've just handed out this, which I'll spend more time on here in a couple minutes, which I think will be a little easier to understand instead of the budget documents because of the puts and takes of existing programs, new programs. So that would be the bulk of the discussion around the budget. But just to set the stage, first of all, I'd like to thank the folks in the department who have done worked also very hard on this budget. And I appreciate that help with changeover in staff and things. What you see in front of you is the Department of Education budget. Keep in mind the Department of Education not only includes the operations of the department, Oregon School for the Deaf, but it also includes three parts of the budget, which I call the grant and aid. There is sort of the basic grant and aid. There is the early learning grant and aid, and then the youth development. So we'll be going through all those three sections on the separate sheet. I think I won't go into a lot of detail. The memo goes into some of the major highlights. Also keep in mind that for budget purposes, at least as you see, if you ask for the Department of Education's budget, would also include the state school fund. That is not covered in this bill. And the numbers on the front page do not include the state school fund amount, which would make it significantly larger than what it is there. So I turn your attention, I think, first to this sort of sheet, and I think it got loaded, right, Julie?
Yes.
Did it get up on OLIS? And just, I'm going to walk through this. The green shading, and it's a slightly ugly yellow shading, I believe, on the computer, if you look at it, represents new or significantly changed programs. I just thought it'd be good to highlight these. The numbers in this are not just general fund. It includes grant and aid funding that comes from the Network for Quality Teaching and Learning. It includes one program that has tobacco master settlement agreement funding, and it also refers to carve-outs in those cases where where we've used a carve-out from the state school fund to fund something new. So,
but Mr. Wilson, it does not include federal funds.
This, Madam Chair, the only other or federal funds this includes is the network and the master settlement. It does not include the non-network other funds or any federal funds. The budget does include that, and when we, I'll go through that rather quickly, of course, with questions, but that will have the federal funds in it. So this is sort of the discretionary funds, for the lack of better term. So starting out with the general grant and aid, sometimes referred to as the K through 12 grant and aid, these are the programs that are funded and at the funding levels. So in terms of Oregon Reads and early literacy related programs, you have three programs there. Start Making a Reader Today at $500,000. Reach out to a reader read program at approximately $100,000, and then some various grant programs have been around for a while at $930,000. In terms of post-secondary aspirations and accelerated credits or accelerated learning, the funding for resources for offsetting the cost of AP, Advanced Placement, International Baccalaureate, and other dual credit early college program or efforts, that's funded at 2.8, which is slightly above the funding in the current biennium. A lot of those resources, if not much of it, is used to offset the cost of testing for those accelerated or APIB tests. The next one is a scale up or regional promise replications. This is for startup and development cost. It is funded to $3 million, which is less than the current biennium, but the expectation is that that funding will not go to Eastern Promise because it's fully developed, for lack of a better term, and is no longer in the startup or development phase. So these are for replications to that.
That's the PCC program, right? Not the PCC, Portland Community College.
It's not Future Connect. That's coming later in another bill, is
Thank
my understanding.
Thank you, Senator Roblin.
Yeah. The next one is Accelerated Learning Initiative. What's happening here is you'll see a bill tomorrow. So this is not part of that budget, but you'll see a bill tomorrow, Senate Bill 418, which will have a special purpose appropriation for slightly less than $7 million in it. It has been part of the discussions here, but it is going in a special purpose appropriation to HEC. They will work with the Department of Education, stakeholders, chief education officer, and come up with a way to a more solid plan around accelerated learning coming back in February. And then there's a long-term program on accelerated college credits is funding at current service level at roughly $250,000. In terms of STEM and CTE related programs, there are a lot of new programs here. There were $35 million set aside for CTE in the discussions that took place. There's about 1.3 that goes to operations, for staff and some SNS costs. The remaining is listed here. Expansion of the regional STEM and CTE networks. These are existing programs, and so the funding for that would increase to $5 million. STEM innovation grants are at $4.75 million. Career pathway fund, $8.75 million. A CTE related summer program, students have a continue in terms of programming and outreach or linking up with industry in the summertime is at $1.75 million. The number there is the exact number. I forgot to take that out of this in the description line. CTE revitalization grants is an ongoing program. It is funded at $9 million, slightly less than the current biennium or current service level. Statewide teacher develop and mentoring for CTE related and STEM related, I believe, at $1.1 million. Post-secondary success, $2 million. A course equivalency, which looks at providing credit and studying, providing credit for courses for those that are in heavy-duty CTE. Some of their core courses would get credit as core courses, and then student leadership centers is at $750,000. These are programs similar to what's already there out there in the CTE student organizations, but there are some changes there. And finally, the robotics, or for inspiration recognition of science and technology, is funded at $500,000.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Doug, I'm not sure. I mean, we've really stepped up the CTE and STEM, and so it's a little challenging to follow the money because, you know, we tend to create new pots also and new programs. But I'm concerned, and I just want to get on the record, and for those out here listening, I want to make sure that community colleges are also recognized as a vital CTE partner, and to make sure that programs that we develop, I don't know how many of these funds community colleges will have access to. Do you have an answer to that, Doug? Or
I do know, Madam Chair, Representative Hoffman, one of the programs of post-secondary success, I think they would have access to for developing new programs in CTE, something that actually Senator Monroe has been concerned about. For those sort of higher cost programs.
Okay.
So that would be one area. My guess is they'll be involved in some of the teacher development also. Beyond that, I will have to ask someone in the audience to sort of expand on their thinking on that.
Well, I just want people thinking to make sure that we are, and this is the way OEIB was described earlier in the session, the purpose for OEIB would be, I think they need to be really involved to make sure that we've got the continuity between the programs, high school to community college, and they're working together. Even though community college may not have direct access to more than maybe one of the funds, I think we need to make sure that that collaboration is paramount because they're a strong partner. We don't want to have silos there, too siloed anyway.
Madam Chair, continuing nutrition programs are basically at current service level. You see them listed there. The only new program there, and it probably should have been the green color, is the expansion of free meals to those currently eligible for reduced lunch. That was the carve-out that was about $2.4 million. There is other funds limitation in here for distribution and reimbursement of those to districts. Other grant programs, this is the physical education grants for 4.5. There's about 400,000 of general fund, and the rest of that is master settlement, tobacco master settlement agreement funds.
Representative Hoffman.
Sorry, can we back up to farm to school? How do we compare on that with previous?
The one,
CSL.
Madam Chair, this is at CSL. I know there's been discussion of another bill, but it has not come forward through the co-chairs yet. But this is what a carry forward of last year's
biennium. 2721.
No,
this is not the new school, the other bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we don't know if we'll hear that or not. Or
that I don't know. I know there's been some discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Then we get to the educator effectiveness and professional development, and this is primarily where the Network for Quality Teaching and Learning programs, there is a little over $30 million of those funds that are carved out that are in this list of programs distributed across these. Most of that funding goes to school district collaboration grants. This is at $16 million. That's higher than the current biennium. A lot of interest around those, and that's one of the numbers that keeps changing. Mentoring is at $10 million, another ongoing program that's been around for a few biennia. And then the others in this list are new programs. Low-performing schools and school and district turnaround efforts were described by the deputy superintendent in his presentations weeks ago, as well as the leadership training for district and school level leaderships for getting sort of turnaround experts out in the schools and giving them additional professional development, effective teacher preparation program at $1.5 million, and finally strengthening professional development on assessments. This is at $2 million. Those last five programs were proposed by Governor Brown when she took the opportunity to provide some of her thinking on professional development and education programs. If you turn the page over, closing the achievement gap, Senate Bill 2016 that passed, I think it's passed at least one of the floors, was an African-American education plan that was funded at a total of $3 million, but you'll find $235,000 of that in the ops budget for a position and some SNS. The College and Career High School Equivalency, this was a GED program. It was part of the mix and discussions, but it actually passed out in the HEC budget at $2 million, and there were a couple staff positions there, and the rest were going to be grants paid out to community-based organizations on the most part to help those that don't have a diploma get a GED. And finally, the Tribal Government Attendance Pilot Project. The 1.73 here is, there is 1.5 for the pilot program, working with tribal governments, and then about $235,000 is for a position, a second Native American education specialist position in the ops budget. And finally, what is termed here is special education and population-specific programs. The early childhood special ed and early intervention is just over $150 million. That is $4 million above current service level. I know for some that they're concerned that that is not enough, but that is how much is currently allocated in the budget. The regional programs, these are programs to help children with special needs of various, many different types of special needs. A lot of that goes out to the ESDs. That's funded at current service level. Long-term care and treatment programs. This is the educational programs for this those providers. That's funded at $18.26 million in the grant and aid. That's $3 million above current service level. And you'll notice, we get a little further along, there'll be a budget note related to that that will increase funding for those programs through the state school fund by a little bit. And then there's the hospital program that's funded at $1.3 million. And then the blind and visually impaired student fund. This is the general fund portion of that. There's also roughly $4 million of other funds, and that's funded just less than $1 million. So that is the what is referred to as SCR 300, but it's the general grant and aid program. So those are all the programs there. There are some programs that were around last biennium that started that were not funded. Many of those were very small grant and aid programs for very specific purposes. The design here is to sort of start going after some larger and very often very successful programs like collaboration and mentoring in those.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, the blind and visually impaired student fund, almost $1 million. Is that still some of the money left over from closing down the School of the Blind?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, this is the general fund portion. Then there's roughly $4 million of other funds, and that is
left in
that is there. And that is, just so folks know, that probably has a biennium and a half or so, that $4 million left. But it was also geared toward those students that had been at the School for the Blind. Many of those are now graduated out of the, you know, moved on into adult life.
Madam Chair, just so we don't forget, on that we've actually been able to ride on that pot of money from the sale of the property and whatnot. This will end up being at least the third biennium,
yeah,
maybe the fourth. And so we're going to have a plan in place to make sure that we care for the blind and visually impaired students throughout the state once that money's gone. We wanted to make sure that we were taking care of the kids that were in the school after that, but we still are going to have a need out there beyond that money. So.
And I think, Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, that will have to be discussed next session, because you're starting to bump up at using all those funds for those specific former residents.
Just wanted the people in the room to know that the need will be out there for next biennium to have that discussion.
Thank you, Representative Huffman.
And some of that funding, Madam Chair, from the school or from the sale of that property also is helping out with some capital projects at the school for the deaf. Also, and that was one of the statutorily dedicated uses of those funds. And that's going on. So there's a bold blue line there. The next programs are in the early learning area. The pre-kindergarten, Oregon pre-kindergarten and early Head Start are funded at $131 and $1.6 million respectively. So total funding for those programs are $133 million, just shy of that. Then there are a number of...
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Doug, does that maintain seats or does it add any to programs?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, those numbers right there are the current service levels. But when I get down to one of the other lines, you'll see that it does add about just shy of $9 million to Oregon Pre-K, which would be expanded slots in the first year of the biennium. But I've mixed it in the discussion. It was part of the mixed delivery preschool discussion. So the other early learning programs, early learning hubs are funded at $15 million. $120,000 of that is in the ops budget for evaluation purposes over the next 3 years. Healthy Families Oregon, which is a home visiting program in large part, is funded at $24 million. That is, I'm going to say, about $9.5 million over current service level, somewhere in that neighborhood. So that program has been expanded. The kindergarten readiness grants at 9.12, that's funded $5 million above current service level. But most of those grants went out in the second year of the biennium, in the current biennium. So really, if you think of the traditional definition of current service level, that 9.12 is just slightly larger in that context. The next two programs are relatively new programs. You passed a bill out yesterday around the mixed delivery preschool that is funded at a total of $27 million. $689,000 of that is for staffing and some startup development costs, contracting costs. That will be in the ops budget. A third of the remaining amount, which is about $8.77 million, will be for Head Start programs in the first year of the, not Head Start, but the Oregon Pre-K, excuse me, program in the first year of the biennium. And then the remaining $17.5 million, roughly, will be for the second year of the biennium as that new mixed delivery preschool program comes forward. That 17.5 is in a special purpose appropriation, so before the department can access those funds, they'll need to return to the 2016 session with a well-thought-out plan that the legislature then can release those dollars either in the 2016 session or at a subsequent emergency board meeting. Then there's a child care quality initiatives. $2.72 million of that, $5 million was transferred to the DHS budget. Isn't part of the budget in front of you today. The remaining $2.28 million is part of the budget around quality initiatives and in child care. And then there were other early learning programs that are funded at current service level at $1.36 million.
Representative Smith-Warner and then Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to point out slash suggest slash question about the kindergarten readiness grants. With the work that we're doing with the early learning hubs to try to integrate that, as well as this increased focus on the new pre-K provision, it might seem that that's an important place for us to look in the future to integrate those. The thought of making sure that those kindergarten readiness grants I wouldn't be so bold necessarily to say maybe that should go through the early learning hubs or somewhere else, but I would just like to point out to the department and whoever else is appropriate that that to me seems like a place that there should be extra effort to make sure that those that that process is utilizing these other two significant and fairly new other parts of the budget for the pre-K.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith Warner, I believe actually, and I could be wrong in this, but at least early learning hubs, I think, almost have to be part of a kindergarten readiness. Mm-hmm. They have to be a partner in it. Good. And if for the mixed delivery preschool program, that actually the early learning hubs are the coordinators of that, and they're the ones that actually apply for the grants or the finance contracts with the department. So there is very strong linkage.
Good. Thank you.
And Megan is shaking her head yes. Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we've been in a fairly lengthy transition process between the commission model and early learning and the hubs. Some of the hubs just, I think, during session being brought online, certified, whatever. Are you guys comfortable that we have exactly the Lighthouse District and the, but I digress.
I am rolling my eyes.
Are you guys comfortable that the bases are covered? And I was thinking of the home visits and a lot of different programs that we've been doing. Have we successfully carried programs forward and funded them now that we're kind of, this is kind of our completion session for the transition? Did we get all the bases covered adequately, do you think?
Should we have Megan come and respond to that?
That's fine. I'm not sure how I would respond in terms of, there's expansions on almost all of these programs included in this budget.
Megan,
whether
yes.
it's enough in people's eyes, the eyes of the old.
I know in the Gorge, Mid-Columbia, I'd go to meetings under the old commission model, and we'd have everybody from public health to CASA, everybody in the room collaborating, which was ironically what Governor Kitzhaber wanted to change to get people to do, and it's kind of like, well, we're already doing it. But having said that, I've worked hard the last 4 or 5 years to make sure we didn't lose what we did have working that was working well. So.
Sure. Co-chairs Comp and Monroe, Representative Huffman. I think that in terms
of... Your name for the record.
Oh, my name for the record is Megan Irwin, and I'm the Acting Early Learning System Director. And I think in terms of investing in programs like home visiting and preschool at a level that's really exciting, this budget does that. And I also think that the investment that this committee is recommending in the systems pieces like the hubs is a really appropriate and exciting level. I think you'll always hear from people that the needs in early childhood outstrip the available resources, but I think that the budget that's being proposed here today for early learning is something that this committee can be really proud of.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks. Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, I was basically going to say the same thing. We've gone farther with this budget than we've ever been before in terms of implementing some of the changes that all of us know are going to be critical if we're really going to have every child in Oregon ready for kindergarten at age 5 and every student in Oregon reading at grade level by third grade. This budget moves a major step in the direction. It's not enough. We never have enough, but it's way better than we've ever done before. And I think in terms of where it puts our priorities, it's better than I've ever seen. And I've been doing with these budgets for many years.
Yes. Okay, Doug, if you want to, Senator Roblin from Coos Bay has all those lighthouses.
That's right. Now, the coast has lots of lighthouses. We just have a few. I actually do believe this is a really good start, and I'm starting to feel more comfortable with the transition. I was more concerned, actually, with youth development, we're going to hear next, because when they kind of did away with our children and families position, they were kind of an afterthought. You know, everybody was working on because the governor was here. And so I want to ask the same question for that one when we get through that part of the budget, because I don't want things to drop away that are really important for kids that aren't in school, but should be. We'd like them back there. So I'm happy you're asking the question, because I agree we need to make sure. And I actually perceive there is a much better connection than we had with children and family, because there was interesting dynamics in every community around that too with respect to schools. So I'm hopeful this will be a really good transition, and I like the resources. We'll see if it's enough the next time we get back there. But you can also only spend so much, and you don't want to have money out there that you're throwing at things because you haven't got the plan that we really want to do it correctly. So I'm happy where we are. Early childhood, I'd love to hear. Let me go through the next part. How we're doing there?
Okay, Doug. We're close to the finish line here.
Madam Chair, members, I did fail to mention relief nurseries. They are at current service level plus roughly $320,000 for backfill of lost federal funds, as well as another $500,000 increase for relief nurseries. So that brings it up to a total of $7.6 million of state funding. There's also, I believe, federal funding in the program also.
Representative Huffman has another question.
I don't know that I've heard. Are there any emerging relief nurseries right now getting ready to come online or in the planning?
We just started ours in Coos County, so it's coming online, so okay. I know that's true. I don't know if there's some others.
I'm not sure. There are large relief nurseries and satellites also of parent relief nurseries, for lack of a better term.
Oregon, we ended up satelliting Juniper Junction and Madras with Ben's Morningstar program. So,
okay, thank you.
Then the other side of the commission, as Senator Roblin mentioned, was the youth development programs. They're funded. The juvenile crime prevention grants continue. These are funds that go out generally to county juvenile crime programs at just under $6 million. That's current service level. Community schools is continued at roughly $100,000. The Youth Innovation Grant Fund is funded with $3.3 million general fund. That's current service level. And then the new program, at least in terms of general fund funding, at $2.26 million is the Youth and Community Grant Program. This is one of four grant programs that this division has in place at this time. And then also there was a backfill of lost Title 20 funding through sequestration grants at the federal level, just like there were for relief nurseries, and that was at about $630,000. So that is the youth development side of the coin.
Senator Roblin.
Yeah, I just like to look at Iris and see if she thinks this is going to make it move forward.
So long as you don't have her come up and swear on a Bible.
No, I just want to make sure that she feels comfortable. This will keep moving.
Iris Bell, Director, Youth Development Council, Representative Chair Comp, Senator Roblin. The additional funding, the 2.2 to our Youth and Community Grant, which is the grant that I have been most concerned about, will assist us in funding those programs that sought funds from our youth investment application process. We had $18 million worth of requests, and at this point, we had $3.3 million actually to allocate out of that $18 million, and that was federal funds. We had no state general fund in our youth and community grant. So this 2.2 is the first state funding in terms of general fund that we will receive towards those requests that we've had out. So hopefully over time that will grow and we will get more state general fund to help support the programs and the services that are existing in the community.
Yes, please.
So my other thing, yesterday we passed out of Full Ways and Means the expansion of your job title from age 20 to age 24. So there will be another group of people who are going to try to help. And I hope as time goes on we acknowledge that when you have more, it costs a little bit more. So I just, that's why this budget still makes me a little concerned, but I understand.
Right. Chair Comp, Senator Roblin. Indeed, and we have sort of stressed that point as well. When that age group changed from 20 to 24, along with that came services and resources that we are to provide to that particular age group now. And the only place we would have to do that, again, is that youth and community grant, which is already stretched with a request up to $18 million or so. So we will be seeking additional funding for that part of the program in the February session. We have to do some assessment, and we have to do some community engagement around how we build out the structure and the investment strategies for that particular age group. And we will come back and sort of present that and say, so here's what that's going to cost moving forward, because there's no way to take that out of the existing funds, which still continue to be really under funding those community programs.
Thank you, Iris. Mm-hmm. Representative Huffman has, I hope.
Does that wrap it up, Doug? Because I wanted to just go back and ask more of a general question of something I didn't see.
It wraps up this. We still sort of have to go through the puts and takes on the budget, but
okay,
in the staffing.
I was curious. It didn't jump out. I know for the current biennium we had, I think it was, had put in $2 million for formative assessments, and we were looking, we had an ask in for $4 million, and I didn't see an assessment line. Is it somewhere else? And I'm just kind of curious why the decision was to not fund formative assessments. Did we even get a report from the department on how that $2 million was spent, and was it?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, that wouldn't have been part of the grant need anyways. It would have been an ops. But the summative assessments, Smarter Balance, are funded in this budget. Uh-huh. The $2 million, which would have rolled up to $4 million of the formative and interim assessments, have not been funded at this point yet. It has been brought forward as an issue, and I've reminded folks that this isn't funded, and that money had gone out almost basically on an ADM basis out to the districts for their use. The department were basically instructed to keep their hands off the funds, and they went out to the districts, and then districts worked together, and in one case with ESDs in terms of, you know, purchasing, bulk purchasing, or using those resources on their own efforts within the district. But at this point, that is not funded in this budget.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A concern. But also, unless I missed it, it would really be nice to get some kind of information on the outcomes of the $2 million that school districts did spend this session. Because if it worked well, I would hope the school districts would have reported that, and we would have had a lot of support for the $4 million for the next biennium.
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, I'll ask the department, but since they were basically told the block granted out, I don't think there was any reporting requirement, and the deputy superintendent is shaking his head, so there wasn't any reporting requirement that went out with that. So it may be trouble other than asking individual districts how that money was used to get that information.
That was, Madam Chair, kind of destined to fail if we didn't. If we put money out and don't ask what the results were, it's hard to gauge how to get more money to. Okay.
I understand. We have Senator Thompson and then Senator Roblin.
Thank you. I didn't see anything in here about third grade dollars for third grade reading levels. I know they've given grants in the past. It was just I talked to a lot of superintendents throughout last summer and this year, and they could show where graduation rates would go up 20% if you can get a kid to read proficiently at third grade. So it sounds like a really good program with results. And is it hidden in here somewhere?
Well, Senator Thompson, the original request for that was quite a broader group of students, up to $85 million. And
are we giving any for, because in the past, haven't individual schools gotten to like get some grant dollars, apply for grants and do some of those programs, or none of that's in here?
not that I'm aware of. But what I would say is our focus, and I don't want to just speak for the co-chairs, but we really wanted to get those students that from birth to age 3 and the home visiting and some of those other areas that are listed here to really start at the beginning of the process to ensure that they have to start this biennium, and then we'll move up the ranks as we go.
So it's not in here?
No. Okay. And I don't know if Senator Monroe has any comments.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, you always have to prioritize. And in fact, we clearly prioritized for the 0 to 5-year-olds. And that meant that not everything could be funded. If we get the 0 to 5-year-olds all where they're supposed to be, and a biennia, another biennia, they move up into grade school and up to third grade and so on, then hopefully that'll be the next step and we'll be able to achieve in the continuum of how you get to the point where everybody in Oregon graduates from high school or better. We stop building prisons and start building schools more and so on. I really like the third grade reading program. I wish we could fund everything, but clearly the big co-chairs and Betty and I said if we have to prioritize, the 0 to 5 is right now, this year, a higher priority.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Okay, Senator Roblin, then we need to move on. Oh, then Representative Taylor.
So two things. One, I actually believe that if you give enough base funding to school districts, most of them are going to prioritize grade 3.
Third grade, yep.
So, I know that others have done that with no extra funding, have done a really good job, and we've heard stories from school districts that made that a priority and shifted. So I hope that school districts are listening and learning that that is a priority we think is a good one. Number two, we did have another work group that happened during the last interim with OEIB on formative assessment. So that, I have some good reports about that to help with some of that stuff, and there should be some information about that. I know that Nancy led a group that worked on that, brought some people in for school districts and others to look at. I think we need to continue having those conversations so that we can get the reports back and can get a better understanding, because as the one little thing showed, our current GPAs are still a pretty good indicator of how kids are going to do in success, and that's really based on some of the formative assessments, not on the others. So we need to follow it, we need to work it, and I agree, when you send the money out with no report back, it's pretty hard to know what you did, so I appreciate those comments.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Co-Chair Kemp. I wanted to follow up something that Representative Huffman brought up. I'm disappointed to hear that, at least currently, that there isn't any money in the budget for the formative and interim assessments. My understanding is that doing the smarter balanced without those is perhaps not the greatest idea. That's the information that I've received and been convinced that that's the case. And so I'm just curious, is this a priority budget issue, or am I missing something in the Department of Education didn't think it was a priority, because if they didn't think it was a priority, then I would have a different view. So I was just curious, and I don't know if you know, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Doug, if that's something that the department didn't ask for, or was it, well, how did it come to be that, I mean, I know it's been discussed all
Madam
along.
Madam Chair,
but,
Representative Taylor, the technical
yes.
answer
yes.
was that was one-time funding and it did not roll up into current service level, and I don't think some people realize that. Now, okay. Others have asked for that, and it continues to be on, I believe, folks' radar screen, but at this time it's not funded. I can't answer in terms of how the department based their decisions on asking or not asking for that. But in terms of the reporting requirements, that is not the department. They were basically told to keep their hands off in a budget note in both the 2014 and 2013 sessions, and they took that to heart and sent the money out. So to Representative Huffman's reporting, it's not the department's it was really the legislators' message to the department.
Well, and the other response that I would give, and a Deputy Superintendent Saxton in two different reports to this committee talked about the assessments, particularly the formative, and how effective teachers do this every day. And it's part of what Senator Roblin is saying. It comes out in their grading, how they grade, and then we did put professional development on assessments in this, so that yes, the best way a teacher does these things is monitoring their children every day, whether that's through a writing sample or questioning about the math, or gee, was Napoleon really that short? I mean, so I'm sorry, Deputy Superintendent, if that was offensive, but it happens in every day in every classroom, but in different levels and competence. Yes.
A quick plug. Got to get my plug, because one of my priorities has, for the last 8 years, has been third grade reading level.
I know.
I just want to get the plug in there that I hope that we can find our way, because I think third grade reading level is critical. And I'm disappointed that we didn't prioritize it. I'm happy with a lot of stuff I see. Don't take offense, but I'm really disappointed that we didn't elevate the third grade reading program. So,
thank you. And we absolutely need to move along, committee, or else. We'll get to the point that the co-chairs will say, well, you guys didn't finish, so this will go to capital construction. So.
Oh, could I change it there?
Would you stop?
Madam Chair, moving on, I'm going to now go to these worksheets that are in your other attachment and try to go through that rather quickly, because we've covered the bulk of it with that preliminary or that two-pager that I handed out. First, I'm working off page 2 of 42. We'll go through these quick. This is the operations budget, the summary of it on page 2, the packages that are part of this that are up for your approval. Package 103 is a Spanish assessment for grades K through 12 or 8. There is not really a good Spanish assessment available right now tied to Smarter Balance. This is seen as sort of an interim until that comes along, and this is for $115,000 for the department to contract with someone that does have a good assessment for English, for language arts, both in terms of English learners as well as dual language folks. Package 107 is a package that saves $11,000 general fund, but this is a package that the department has every biennium. It includes a number of changes to positions in terms of funding, reclasses, extension of limited duration positions that they continue to have funding for, and a number of other position cleanup items. Overall, this creates 4 positions, 7 FTE, and those are mainly due to extension of limited duration positions this biennium that they still have funding for. And some of that is in the information systems area around the early learning systems. Package 108, I mentioned before, this is the Native American education specialist position. This adds to the existing position they have. That is a cost of just under $235,000 and adds a position. Package 109 on page 6, this is a department superintendent office reorg. This does reclasses of 2 positions in that office, the main one being the chief of staff. It had been a level G, and it moves up to level H to be more in tune with the rest of the department structure, and also the position that serves as the board secretary of the State Board of Education. Inside this package also is the transfer of the personnel or human resources department between divisions within the department. Package 151 is a position cleanup for the youth development position. It changes the funding on a number of positions because they've lost some other funds through the Casey Foundation, and puts it into proper funding levels for what the positions are doing. There is a position given up in this package that had been vacant for a number of months. But it does overall add 0.5 FTE to that office. In terms of package 200, this is an early learning quality assurance and improvement. There are 22 positions in this package. Most of those are limited duration positions that will continue through either the first 18 months of the biennium when the Race to the Top grants have to be expended, the federal Race to the Top grant. Many of those positions will disappear at that time. Roughly 8 or 9 positions will continue, and those will be funded with either general fund or child care development block grants for the remaining of the biennium. There is a roll-up due to this package because some of the positions will need to be continued at general fund only starting next biennium in the 17-19 biennium. Total cost of this package in terms of general fund is $737,000 general fund, but you see also quite a bit of $2.8 million of federal funds involved in this package. Most of the 22 positions are limited duration positions and will not be in the next budget proposal for 17-19. 801 has a number of items in it. It saves over $200,000 general fund, but it deals with space issues in the Department of Education's building or the Public Service building. It deals with a reduction of $200,000 general fund that were tied to reorganization efforts and contracts. It has it moves funding around for the assessments to make sure it's in the right place in the department, moving from special pay or from grant and aid to this as special payments. It increases $3.45 million in federal funds that brings the assessments up to where they should be. Those are federal funds coming in that are used for that purpose. $3.3 million for that, I'm sorry. And then it recognizes the loss of KC Foundation funding in the Youth Development Division. Overall, there's a $2.7 million increase, mostly in federal funds. In this package. Package 802, these are CTE-related positions. Out of that $35 million that had been sort of the bank for CTE programs, $1.3 million of that is for staffing, 7 positions, 5.75 FTE around those new programs. And this is on top of other CTE, mostly federal-funded positions that are also in the department. And package 809, these are IT-related positions. Alder funding, which I've mentioned before, is no longer available after next week, I guess. And many of the positions in the IT shop had been funded over time more and more with federal funds, mainly Alder funding. And since that funding went away, they were going to lose funding in, I believe, 15 positions. This package retains funding on 11 of those positions, but does cut 4 positions, but then adds another one back. One of the looming IT issues out there for the department is the system that distributes the state school fund and takes into account the local revenue. A position, limited duration, is added back in to develop the replacement for that system. I think people lose sleep over that system failing at some point in time when you talk to people in the agency. And I think school districts would rather be upset if they didn't get their payments. And finally, 841 is a package. It adds a number of positions, but they're tied to policy bills you've that you've heard before. English language learners, 2 positions. The child care position or programs, this is House Bill 2015 that came out of the Human Service Department or Committee. But there are a number of positions in here, 16 positions, but most of those positions are due to new federal requirements about monitoring, inspecting, and oversight of child care, mainly non-licensed child care facilities that now, if they receive a subsidy, the feds expects the state to monitor them. and these are many of the ERDC providers. House Bill 2016, the African American Education Plan, that's the it positions in this package. The Mixed Delivery Preschool, House Bill 3380, there are three positions, 1.5 FTE in this package. And finally, the Early Learning Hub. I mentioned the $120,000 for evaluation. That's also in this package. So that package has $1.2 million of general fund in it, mostly tied to other bills. That, Madam Chair, members, is the operations which make up the bulk of the staffing and SNS in the department. The next item, starting on page 14 and 15, is the School for the Deaf. The only change here are some a position cleanup. Again, the $11,000 saved in the comparable package 107 in the operations division is used here for extending the time on a special schools teacher from 20 to 24 months. Other funds are used to within the budget to create a permanent full food service worker one program in the kitchens. They do cooking not only for that, the School for the Deaf, but also for some charter schools that are on site at the School for the Deaf. And then federal funds allow that they have will allow them to find two more teacher assistants positions to help out in teaching the 100 or so students at the School for the Deaf. The next package or division is the Youth Corrections Education Program. The only package here, package 111, has no money attached to it or changes in funding, but based on part on a collected bargaining agreement from years ago, as these positions in the department become vacant, these are positions that our teachers at, for example, at the OYA facilities, they are now contracting out to other education providers. So as those Department of Education positions, those people retire, they fill them with contract through ESDs or whatever the provider is. And so this takes two more retirements, provide for getting rid of two positions. And I think there are only two positions left here. So they will soon, as soon as those retire, there'll be no positions. It will all be contract for services through this division or this part of the budget. Excuse me. The next package or next area of the budget is the grant for aid. We've gone through the entire thing with that the two-pager that I have. I'll quickly go through these, but these are the puts and takes that really would be very difficult to gather sort of what the program funding is for each of the programs because most of them already exist and are part of the current service level. Package 101 deals with the achievement gap. The packages around the African American, the Native or the tribal government pilot project on attendance are part of these. Package 102 deals with educator effectiveness. There's a blank page on page 20. This is a formatting issue in the Orbit system. But on page 21 are the descriptions of these. These are the packages or programs involved in this package are mentoring, collaboration, and the use of the Network for Quality Teaching and Learning, the school district and school turnaround initiatives that the deputy superintendent presented and was a supporter of, and then along with the leadership training and the assessment, the training and professional development about the around the use of assessments are part of these. It also, as I noted before, there were a number of programs, usually very small grant programs, that are no longer funded, and those are reflected in these numbers of those going away. On page 23 we call this the 801, the LFO analyst. The package here is just moving $412,000 between this division of the budget and the early learning grant and aid portion of the budget. 803, again, a rather large package in terms of verbiage. On page 25 are the descriptions. These are the CTE programs that I went through earlier, the funding or the change in funding of existing programs. This is one of the major areas of expansion in this budget. Package 804 deals with accelerated learning. Keep in mind, most of the funding for accelerated learning will be in a special purpose appropriation to HEC for the time being, but my guess would be that many of the funds from that the special purpose appropriation that would come forward in a plan to the 2016 session may end up back in the ODE budget. But HEC is taking the lead with participation from the department on planning of the use of the $7 million in that area. 805 are grants that don't fit in any of the other descriptions, but these include the other funds limitation for the free lunch program for those that are eligible for reduced lunches. That's about $2.4 million. Other funds increases. There's the increase of $4 million in here for the early childhood special ed program. Long-term care program, as I said, expanded by $3 million. And there's also portion of the funding for the English language learners as part of this package. Most of this is other funded, coming either through carve-outs or other funds available. And that is the grant for aid, the general grant and aid package. Again, the final numbers are on the other page description. Common school fund, the only adjustment here is these are non-limited other funds. Even though the common school fund is a local revenue in terms of the state school fund formula distribution model, it does flow through this budget. And this $521,000 increase brings it up in line and what is estimated now to be distributed from the common school fund. I will say there are discussions going on to increase the distribution from the standard 4%, of which this number reflects, to 5%. Those discussions are going on between the executive and legislative branch. The next is the early learning division. We've gone through the detail on this. The packages starting out on page 32, the Title 20 backfill is package 152, as well as adding the $500,000 over and above CSL for relief nurseries. Package 203 is the funding for the expansion funding for early learning hubs and the kindergarten readiness increase of $5 million. Package 204 on page 34 is the Healthy Families Oregon increase. It's a $9.4 million increase to that program. 801 involves that other side of the $412,000 transfer between divisions and also has changes in a number of other small programs to reflect the funding availability. 806 is the preschool expansion. As I said, the $8.7 million goes to the Head Start program for the first year of the biennium to increase the slots there. And then the remaining 17.5, which is not reflected in these numbers, but is a special purpose appropriation to the agency, which they need to come back and access during the 2016 session or a subsequent e-board meeting. And then finally, in terms of other early learning expansions, this is the quality initiative for $2.28 million on package 807. And finally, the Youth Development Division, again, more detailed on that two-pager at the beginning of the work session. There's the Title 220 backfill in 152, and then the a loss of further KC funds in 801. And finally, in 808, the $2.2 or $2.3 million expansion in the Youth Development Fund in that grant program is included in the budget. And finally, just as a final note, there is just $1.4 million for debt service. These are lottery funds that flow to the department. It was roughly $40 million last biennium. Those bonds are now being paid off. These were issued in the early 2000s, and I think they probably will be paid off by the end of this biennium. So there will be no more debt service in this budget next biennium, I believe. So, Madam Chair, that is the detail on the budget. I'm sorry it took so long.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And if you hadn't taken that long, you would have had to answer a whole lot more questions. So, Let's see.
Madam Chair, I would suggest you return, the members return back to the memo, and then the next step would be to accept the LFO recommendations if there are no other questions on the budget numbers.
We need to do the amendments?
That comes after the acceptance there on page three.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair?
Madam Co-Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations for House Bill 5016.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Monroe has moved the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5016. Any discussion? Is Senator Thompson outside the door?
I don't know.
See if he wants to vote.
No, Sam.
Okay. Any objections? Motion carried.
The next item, Madam Chair, the performance measures are listed at the bottom of the, they're way at the end, unfortunately, of your, all paper still has some advantages than electronics. These are mainly proposed new KPMs. They do have targets on them that the department, generally they match what the department provided as their suggested targets. The new measures reflect the reorganization of the department and the rethinking over the past couple years. They deal with, and they do range from quality learning environments about childcare quality, the success of those programs in terms of the kindergarten assessment results, both in reading and other areas, in literacy. Early literacy measures around third grade reading levels, and then students on track to graduate, where they are at ninth grade if they're on track for graduation, and then high school completion and the readiness for college going. And then there are also measures around staff satisfaction, as well as the number of schools, for lack of a better term, graduating out of being a priority or focused school and achieving what they need to achieve in terms to get off that status. There are also a number of deleted KPMs that generally deal with things that have been around for a long time, but they measure, the new measures measure similar things, but probably are better measures than those that are being proposed to be deleted. So our recommendation would be to accept those key performance measures.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, Co-Chair Monroe.
I move that we accept the key performance measures for House Bill 5016.
Senator Monroe moves that we accept the LFO recommendations for key performance measures for House Bill 5016. Discussion, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to make a couple comments for the record and also request, I would like to speak to ODE about this, I think, more extensively in the future. My one thing at the very end, the customer service, I mean, I'm a believer if we're going to have these, we might as well want people to be aspirational. And so the last view about customer service, the goals are in a number of places to go down and then to stay the same. So perhaps that's that could be a typing error, and that's fine. But I also would like to have further conversations about some of the kindergarten assessment ones as well. If I can just reference on page one of the five pages. Just to kind of, it's good to be aspirational, but the idea that we would double number 3A, you know, double the average number of letters that children are able to identify in 1 minute between 1 year and the next, that seems like a pretty huge jump. But more importantly, 3C, increase the average number of math questions that children are able to correctly respond to from 10 to 30. I'm a little troubled by the concept of a kindergarten assessment before a kid comes in being asked to do 30 questions as part of a kindergarten assessment. So I will appreciate kind of having further conversations with the department about that.
Thank you for putting that on the record, Representative Smith Warner.
And Madam Chair, I will check to see if the customer service are a typo. Maybe okay. They are.
Thank you.
Senator Roblin?
Yeah, my only thing is I'm trying to read through all of them. Are the KPMs for the Youth Development Council and for early children division, are they all in here? Because we have a lot of budget issues in here. So are their KPMs engaged in this, or is that a separate document?
Madam Chair, Senator Roblin, there are early learning division because the kindergarten assessments is an early learning as well as one and two, the quality learning. I do not believe there is a youth development measure. And so if you would like to sort of instruct the department to develop one for the next cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we need to start having those kinds of things done. Yeah.
Thank you. Good suggestion. Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Any objections? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, the next item, and we're getting very close to the end, here are the budget notes. They're listed there on page 3 of the memo. The first budget note deals with the annual conference on Oregon civics. You passed out House Bill 2955. This just instructs the department to coordinate the activities and provide funding from existing professional development and operational funds to support that that conference as outlined in House Bill 2955. The second budget note deals with graduation rates. The department must initiate direct contact with those districts that report a graduation rate below the state average and verify the accuracy of that before they're publicly released. And then, in addition, the department must report back to the legislature prior to March 1st, 2016 on its efforts to provide direction and, if necessary, training to staff in those school districts and ESDs that report the data, and that might be inaccurate. And finally, the third budget note I alluded to before is around the long-term care and treatment programs. Generally, up to this point, those funds have been distributed based on a sort of a student number basis. This budget note instructs them to change that to a minimum standard basis in terms of the distribution of those. So they set out minimum standards that funding would be set upon or based on one teacher and two instructional assistants generally for each 10 students or classroom. And then as they grow, they're proportionally in terms of similar numbers. And then the department also would be instructed to return to the Joint Ways and Means Committee during the 2016 regular session on the distribution and also proposal to how to measure whether this is a proposal to measure the effectiveness of these programs and the funding distribution themselves. Those are the three budget notes that have been approved by the co-chairs for this budget and are on the table for you to accept or not.
Madam Co-Chair?
Just a moment. Oh, go ahead. Let's hear the motion.
Sure. I move we accept the three budget notes as presented by LFO for House Bill 5016.
Co-Chair Monroe moves that we accept the budget note recommendations for House Bill 5016. Discussion, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. On budget note number 2, Doug, what is that about? I guess it sounds a little. Aren't these numbers that the districts have been reporting for years? And is this having to do with whether you count GEDs, et cetera, et cetera?
It might be. I was not able to dig into
it.
I think
cloaked.
This was brought forward by Chalkboard, I believe, mm-hmm. and presented to the co-chairs, and so they may be able to speak to it if you'd like them to.
Yes, and Senator Roblin, maybe you have the answers.
We had a hearing and about this, and it was a Chalkboard presentation. You can ask them, and it basically said that in looking at the data, oftentimes our data has not stood up. When we look at it in comparison to how other states are doing the same stuff, we take a much more rigorous look at some of the kinds of stuff, and we've been working, and I think we've done a pretty good job of getting documents that tell districts how to do it. I mean, I think we've worked really hard on that. But at the end of the day, after stuff have come out, the districts have said, got all upset, and then they went back to the department, and they worked it out, and it came out a little different. And so they're saying, let's do that before we release it instead of after we release it. and especially those that are really low, because they affect all the rest of us when we talk about state grade graduation rates, all those other kinds of things. If we made it really clear ahead of time that we need to make sure that we're doing it the way we're supposed to be doing it, and that we're counting the right people in the right places, it would be helpful for us, because we don't have to then go back and correct it later. So I think that's where it's coming from.
Yes.
Thank you. And as part of that, could we talk to the districts about things they can do to encourage higher graduation rates?
Well, I think all of them are working on pretty hard on that. Yeah, one, but I would say that that's always a good part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
How you count people, the biggest one for high school persons. We're told student leaves, goes to a different state. They never send anything back for records. We have to assume they are a dropout. When in fact later we find out they are at another school, how do you correct that? We have a process to do that the following year, but it would be nice if we had a way to figure that out beforehand, so it doesn't show up one time and then have to be, because then people don't trust the data.
Set this one over till tomorrow.
Easier to, so those kinds, how we determine whether that person has really dropped out or gone someplace else is a really important aspect with respect to graduation.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other further discussion on the motion? Any objections? So moved. Co-chair Monroe, where do we, let's move. Yep.
Madam Chair, members, the next motion would be the amendment, which is the -2 amendment. Basically, that sets out what you've talked about all morning. We recommend a budget of $541.8 million general fund, $1.4 million lottery funds, $145.4 other funds, $1.026 billion federal funds, $112.9 non-limited other funds, and $388 million in non-limited federal funds be amended into the bill, which is reflects the -2 amendments.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move the -2 amendments to House Bill 5016.
Mr. Co-Chair moves the -2 amendments to House Bill 5016. Discussion? Objections? So moved.
And Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5016 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe moves House Bill 5016 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Senator Thompson is objecting. Motion carries.
Carriers.
Madam Co-Chair, you want to carry this one to the full?
I would be honored.
Okay. I'll take it to the Senate.
And we probably need to check with Representative Buckley if he wants to carry it on the floor.
Okay, so you or Buckley, one
yes.
or the other. Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, I don't know if Julie is still having issues. I think we may have to carry House Bill 3063 over till tomorrow because her computer says it's going to crash in a matter of minutes.
And we're out of time anyway.
Yeah, so House Bill 3063 will be added to tomorrow's agenda, which already has 5 bills on it.
Okay, I need to close the work session on House Bill 5016 for the Department of Education. And committee, we are adjourned.
So what Doug was saying was, Huffman, you need to quit talking so much. Huffman, you need to quit talking so much. What Doug was saying was,